Good evening and welcome to Samaria Christian. It's great seeing all of our families here and coming to worship our Lord. Thank you, Carol. That was beautiful. Great job on that. Our first scripture comes from from John, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this evening, allowing us to gather here. We're thankful for your Son who unselfishly came to this earth as an infant, childlike. It was wonderful that he was able to bear the burdens of our sins. We're just so thankful that he did that for us. And it's in your holy and precious name that we do pray. Amen. The birth of Christ in the book of Luke is probably one of the most well-known and well-recited scriptures of his birth, and I'll be reading from 2 Luke tonight. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Let us stand, and we're going to sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," 4 verses. I'd stand up there, but I can't sing.
"O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the deep and dreamless sleep as silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years I've met in thee tonight. Our Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While God asleep, the angels keep their watch of wonderful. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and the praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Oh, silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human heart the blessing of his head. No earthly ear is coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls receive him still, the dear Christ entered in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. cast out our sin and enter into born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings till. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Thank you. You may be seated. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels have left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who is lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed in what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. Let's stay seated, and then we're going to sing a couple of verses of Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Good evening. Good evening. I thought you all didn't hear me. I put you to sleep already. My goodness, that was quick. That was quick. Well, I'm Larry McAdams. Carol wrote on my paper here that directions and everything, and she put Rev McAdams. Now, that's a lot better than Reverend, because God's the only Reverend there is, but Rev always meant to me rest, eat, and visit. And that's what I've done for years. And now I'm doing more resting and eating than I am the visiting part, but that's kind of... You know, I love the light, don't you? I absolutely love light. And I love this time of year because of all the beautiful Christmas lights that we see all around us. They're just gorgeous. My wife and I were talking on the way to the building tonight, and Susan says, "You know, I hope we get to see a lot of Christmas lights on the way home tonight," and I'm sure we will see a lot of them. Maybe we'll even pass by your house. I don't know. Do you do anything special on Christmas Eve? Let me know at the door, okay? And I'll make sure I stop. That's part of the rest and eating. Not so much visiting, but the rest and eating. No, I love the light. Do you realize that there are 300 references, or about 300 references in the Bible concerning light? Now, there are only 200, or about 200, around 200 verses in the Bible that have to do with darkness. And of course, you and I both know that in the Bible, darkness represents sin. It represents evil. And light represents righteousness and life. I want to share four things with you tonight that I think we can dig from the scripture and see. Just unpack a little bit of it in your presence tonight. Now, if I go too long, blame Shan. He's the one that told me I could talk as long as I wanted to. If it's not any good, blame Shan. He's the one that asked me to speak. If it's all right, give God the glory, okay? That's what we'll do. First, the Bible says that God is light. God is light. Say that with me. God is light. That's what he is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 states this. This then is the message we have heard of him, of God, in other words, and declare unto you that God is what? Light. God is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. Praise God for that. That God is light. God is light. No darkness, no sin. Nothing like that at all. And if it's that way with God, it's certainly also that way with his Son, Jesus Christ. Light in the Bible always speaks of good, of purity, of truth, of holiness, and of love, and the life that we are to try to live in this world. And if you note, of all those things that I just mentioned, they are all the characteristics of God. That is the character of God. And it should be our character as well, as along with that, the fruit of the Holy Spirit too. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all things that are the character of God and also bring out the light that is needed in this dark world in which we live. Now, I've surmised quite a bit over the years, and this past week I surmised a little bit about what I was going to say. So I'm going to give you my opinion here. I believe, you don't have to agree with it, but I believe that God chose Mary because of her purity and her faithfulness to God. You see, Mary was still just a child, actually, just a teenager, a young teenager when God decided that she would be the one that would bear our Savior and his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he looked at Mary and he saw her faithfulness to God and her purity in living the life that she lived. I believe God also chose Joseph in a very special way to be the earthly father of Jesus Christ because he knew that Joseph would take care of Mary and Jesus. He took care of Mary to be his wife. After all, Mary was espoused to be married, in other words, and really was married at the time, although it had not been consummated at that present time. But the Old Testament, the law says that he could have had her put to death, stoned to death, as a matter of fact, because Joseph knew it wasn't his child that she was carrying. But nevertheless, he loved her and listened to the word of God as the angel spoke to him and took Mary to be his wife. So he kept that faithfulness to God through this. He chose Mary to be his wife. He took her to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. He took her then to Egypt to escape the persecution that the king was bringing out at that time to kill all boys 2 years of age and under. He protected her there. Not only that, but he took her to Galilee and to Nazareth to fulfill the prophecies that are found in the Old Testament concerning this matter. And you know what else? Joseph kept taking care of Mary. Question that I want to ask you, and I'd like for you to answer it. What happened to Joseph? What happened to him? I don't know. I don't know anyone except God and Joseph right now. Of course, Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, a bunch of angels. I guess a lot of folks know. what happened to Joseph. I don't know why he's not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. He was such a faithful husband and loving and caring father to not only Jesus, but to the other children as well. And he took such good care of Mary. And he was such a great example for the rest of us men to be as well with our families. The Bible says God is light. What does God look like? What does God look like? Have you ever seen him? We've seen him in a multitude of ways, but never face to face. But God is light. Imagine a light that is so pure, so radiant, so bright, so gleaming that you can't even look at it. I believe that's the kind of light that God is. He is the light of the world, and in him is not one teensy, insy, bitty bit of darkness. God is light. When we get to heaven, we're going to see what he looks like. And I think what we're going to see is this brilliance that we've never even imagined before. But then we will be able to look upon him and see him as he is, even as the Bible tells us. The Bible teaches that people love darkness more than the light. Oh, I don't even like to say that, but it's true. Look at our world around us today. Have you listened to the news over the last few days? Just as what's happened. More bad news than good news. The world's a mess, folks. God's going to straighten it out one of these days. Hallelujah. He's going to come back and he's going to straighten it out. He's going to send his son. He's going to straighten it out. But right now, men love darkness more than light. And if it wasn't for the impact of God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, there'd be a whole lot more mean people sitting in this sanctuary tonight. And I'd be top dog probably. But God's Spirit gives us light, gives us love, gives us hope. Interesting how the Old Testament ends pretty much in darkness. Then there's that 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, the intertestament time, a period of real darkness, because God, no man heard the voice of God during that period of time. In the Old Testament, he talked through prophets and other people. In the New Testament, it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, that in these last days, he spoke through his son, Jesus. But in that 400-year period of time, there was nothing. Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Their deeds were evil. Those had to be terrible years, those 400 years. Not hearing the voice of God. Not knowing what he had to say to anyone in the world at that time. But then God speaks once again. God speaks once again. He speaks through his son, Jesus. He speaks through Christ. He speaks through our Savior and our Lord as we accept him and live for him each and every day of our lives. They were terrible years, full of sin and degradation, full of terribleness. We think the world's bad now. It had to be even worse during that 400-year period of time when God didn't speak. But now the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. In Matthew, we see the Christ child. The Christ child born, and the light and life that God promised through prophecy in the Old Testament is fulfilled. Remember what Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." We're living in the shadow of the valley of death, but the light's dawned. Jesus came. And so the third point is that Bible teaches that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. I remember a story from preaching in the past about a little boy who was at a Christmas play. He was in the Christmas play, and he was the innkeeper in the Christmas play. And he forgot his lines. Have you ever done that? I've been there lots of times. Let me tell you, it's rather embarrassing to forget what you were going to say next. The little boy forgot his lines. It was just a little short bit of line. All he had to say was, "I am the light of the world." But he couldn't remember it. He was so nervous in front of people, kind of like me tonight, nervous in front of people. "I am the light of the world." But he couldn't remember. But his mama was sitting down on the front pew. And there his mama said, now could you read my lips? You're doing better than me. My wife talks to me through lip reading every once in a while. I have no idea what she says. I say, just say it louder, please. I'm a little hard of hearing anyway, but I can't read lips. And then finally, the mom got a little exasperated, and she leaned over real close to the little boy, and she said, "I am the light of the world." And so the little boy stood up straight. He was so proud he had his words now, and he says, "My mother is the light of the world." Well, I'm sure that his mom was a great lady. But folks, let me tell you, she's not the light of the world. Jesus is the real light of the world, isn't he? John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In other words, the darkness could not understand it, nor could it overcome it. You can walk into a dark room, can't you? Light a light, and the darkness is dispelled. Darkness will never overcome light as long as the light is the light of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We win in the end. We've read the back of the book, haven't we? We know that we win in the end. When Jesus was born into this world, he was the one who manifested God on the earth. He shined for everyone with purity and truth and knowledge and the joy and happiness that God has to offer all of us. Jesus is the reason. Oh, some of you got it. Let's try that again. Jesus is the reason. Did Carol say it? Jesus is the reason for the season. That's right. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we ought to be telling people that Jesus is the reason for the season. When the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, we see there, "But the angel said to them, do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're living in it every day, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. "Because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for" who? All people. All people, red and yellow, black and white, Democrats, Republicans, independents, everybody. Jesus came to be the light of life for us, everyone. I only have a couple of things to say to that. Hallelujah! Whoo, that gets me excited. If it doesn't get you excited, your wood's all wet. That's for sure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that Jesus came into the world to be light and life. We don't have to fear the darkness any longer. He is here with us. He abides in us. His Spirit is within us. And we have great trust in him to see us through to the very end because he is the light. The good news of great joy is that Jesus came, lived the perfect life, became the perfect sacrificial lamb, died on the cross. Can you show us the cross? Would you do that, please, Fred? I love this cross. I love what this church does at communion time. I love it when Shan says we're going to take a few minutes and just focus on the cross. I'm afraid we as Christians don't focus on the cross enough. I'm glad to see that we do it here. Beautiful. Focus on the light of the cross. He became the perfect sacrificial lamb, dying on the cross. Then after he died, he resurrected 3 days later. What did he do when he came out of the tomb? He says, "Father, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And then one day I'm coming back." Glory to God for that. One day he's coming back. He is the eternal light. He is everything there is to life, my friends. And finally, Isn't that a wonderful word, finally? Finally. The Apostle Paul tells us in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan.
The apostles?
Did he just mean the disciples of that first century? Who did he mean? Look in the mirror, folks, because he meant you and he meant me. He is sending us into this lost and dark world to share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ with those who are lost. The light of God's love has been given to us so that we can share Him, Jesus Christ, with others. That's what Christmas is all about, of sharing the light. Have you ever been in a really dark place like a cave? Since I'm from Kentucky, I like to mention Mammoth Cave here. Anybody ever been to Mammoth Cave? I was in it when a youngster, and I didn't know what was going to happen, and that guy turned those lights off. I jumped. I was afraid of the dark. I wasn't very old, 27, 28, something like that. Not really. But it was dark. And he says, now, I want you to put your hand in front of your face till you can see it. You know what you did, don't you? You hit your nose because you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was that dark. There's a worse darkness than that, though, my friends. It's the darkness of sin and the darkness of hell for those who have not accepted the light of the world, Jesus Christ. There are two people in my life that I really look forward to seeing when I get to heaven. They're both passed away now. One was an elder in Camden Avenue Christian Church where I grew up. His name was Ed Franklin. He would choose one young person to go with him every Sunday that he was taking communion to the shut-ins. He would do it during the sermon. Well, that was fine with me. I didn't have to listen to the preacher. And God did this to me. So he would pick me every once in a while. And I readily went. You know why I went? He blackmailed us. No, not blackmail, bribed. That's the word I want. He bribed us. Because when we were finished, he always went to the ice cream shop and got us an ice cream cone. Little did I know that here this 10, 11-year-old boy was being taught by this man not so much to love ice cream, but to love the Lord and to serve others. Yeah, I give him credit for the first inkling that I ever had of becoming a minister. The second person is a woman. She was older than Shan and Dick Dietrich put together. She was old. In my eyes, she was. You see, she was my third and fourth grade Sunday school teacher. If she was married, I didn't know anything about it. Don't know. All I know is she had this white hair all done up in a bun, and she would look at you with those piercing eyes, and she would say, Larry, I want you to quote this verse. Larry knew the verse. This woman scared me. I was frightened of this lady. I was so afraid that I told her once, I said, I don't think I can memorize that. And she looked at me and she says, put her finger almost to my nose and says, you will learn this. And do you know, to this day, she's taught me so many memory verses that I have floating around in my head and my heart. She's the second person I want to go up to. And I want to give her a hug and say, thank you, Mrs. York, for teaching me to love your word. To love your word. The word of God is precious to us, my friends. She taught me this verse. I know it to the day. Don't guess I'll ever forget it. It's Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I learned it. I could quote it. Didn't understand it. I've still got it. I can quote it. And I do understand it. It's not about Larry. It's not about you. It's all about God. We bring glory and praise to Him. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let your light so shine. In other words, let it shine brightly before others that they can see that you're a Christian. How many times have you talked to somebody and you said, well, does so-and-so know that you're a Christian? I don't know. Or they're talking to you about somebody who's lost in their family, and they say, did you ever talk to them about Jesus? Well, no, not really. Duh. We're the light. We're the light that reflects the light of God and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to us. He's depending on us. And not only is God and Christ depending on us, but the souls of men and women and young people are depending on us to share with them the light of Jesus Christ. Not so we can say, hey, look at me. No, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. And then what? The most important part? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus came. Why did he come? He came to glorify the Father. And everything he did, he glorified the Father. That's what Christmas is all about. And so it is that we are, that he is the bright and shining light, but we also are to be lights. Two verses prior to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, and she didn't make me memorize these, or I'd probably quote them, but I'm just going to read them. Matthew 5, 14 and 15 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. May we never forget, my friends, that Mary that Mary delivered the baby Jesus, and Jesus has delivered us from sin and from eternal punishment. Romans 10, 14, how then can they call on the one, Jesus, God, they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Who's the someone? We are. We are. We're the people. We're the light. We're like candles here in a little bit. And that's a neat thing to do. And it brings us all to focus in on the light a little bit more and a little bit better, perhaps. But every day, wherever we are, we need to be the light of Jesus Christ. He's called us to be that light. We are the preachers who people are waiting to hear from. We are the light that will lead them to the true and living light and life, Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, my friends, how bright is your light shining? Is it shining at all? Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're really living the Christian life. Let's be honest with ourselves. How bright is our light shining for Jesus tonight? From the light of the star above the manger to the light of the cross that we see behind me on the wall, to the light that is heaven's glory, may we do what God is asking us to do. May we be that bright and shining light that reflects the light, the love, and the life of Jesus Christ. We need to be leading people to Jesus and to salvation. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, every day that we live is a present. God wraps it for us. We unwrap it by living for Him and allowing the light to shine forth. I pray that we would be the light that God has called us to be, not just at Christmas, but all the time. And I ask, how bright your bulb? How bright is your bulb? 25 watt, 50 watt, 75 watt, 100 watt, 150, 250? How bright is it? It needs to be bright enough that people lost in the darkness of sin can see the light, see what you're doing in the light, and then give God glory and praise and accept Him as their Lord and Savior as well. I want to pray with you before Scott comes, okay? Father God in heaven, how beautiful the lights are at Christmas time. And Thank you for being the light of the world, Jesus. And thank you for entrusting us to also be the light, not that perfect light that you were, but a reflection of that light, a light that shines in the darkness, so that people might see the true light and life that God offers to all, if they would but accept him, be obedient to him, and live for him every day, Father. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the birth of Jesus. We thank you that you have given to us the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.
At the first Christmas, Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem with other travelers coming to be counted with the Roman census. The temporary shelter set up for these travelers was full. Mary and Joseph lodged for the night in a stable, maybe near a shelter or a home of one of Joseph's relatives. Either way, they were among ordinary folks and everyday people. Shepherds heard the news from angels and came to see the baby. Dirty, smelling like sheep, considered unclean and unable to go to the synagogue, shepherds were scorned. They were the outcast of their day. Magi of the East saw the star and knew that Jesus had been born. A prophecy in the book of Numbers might have made its way easy when the Jews were exiled in Babylon hundreds of years before. I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. However they learned about Jesus, the Magi were men of wealth, and judging by the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they brought to Jesus. Evil King Herod and the proud religious rulers heard about Jesus' birth when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem. They consulted the scriptures, but they rejected the opportunity to greet and worship God's Son. Ordinary people, outcast, the wealthy, the powerful, all were invited to worship Jesus, because God planned it that way. In the same way, when believers gather for communion, everyone is invited. Ordinary people, outcasts, the wealthy, and the powerful. Our Father planned it this way. There's no rank around the table. Communion must be observed in a manner that honors the body of our Lord, his physical body, broken for us, and his body, the church, formed of believers, from every tribe and language and people and nation. The only credentials anyone needs around the communion table are the faith in Jesus and the willingness to examine ourselves and our relationships with one another. How we view one another matters to God, because he's invited everybody. We're going to be doing communion a little bit different than we ordinarily do on Sunday. What we're going to do is start in the front on each side. We're going to have you take communion, light your candle, and then go down the middle of the aisle, and then divide in the back, and we're going to try and make a circle. So we're probably going to have to spread out a little bit in order to do that. But like I said, we want to start at the front, communion, light, go down the middle, and then split for communion. We are going to sing a few verses of Silent Night, and then Larry's going to go ahead and conclude with prayer. And I just want to thank everybody for coming tonight. It was really beautiful, and I'm very thankful to be a part of something like this.
I pray that we might all allow our lights to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we are, whenever we happen to be there, with whomever we happen to be. That's what Jesus has called us to do. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Yes, Jesus has always been Lord and Savior. Let's give him thanks in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of meeting this evening. On the eve of what we call your birth, we thank you, Father, for the joy that you place in our hearts because we know that sin is forgiven and that heaven will be our eternal home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the light that never dims, that never fades, but always shines brightly. Give us your strength and your wisdom, your love, your patience, and all that we need, Father, to allow our light to shine for you so that others might see and give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are free to leave.